Look at that man bun right there. That is some...
All right, I'm coming up and I'm bringing clippers.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world. And we are back. It's been a little, it's been kind of weird this month, start of the new year, I guess, for What the Puck. We had some website issues. We tried to figure that all out. I did a solo show. I don't even want to call it a show last week. It was just kind of like an update on, hey guys, we're trying to fix this stuff. Here we are. We are back in the All-Star break. So there's no new hockey to talk about, but joining me as always to talk, I don't know, about whatever. Coach Stanton, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you doing? It's been a while.
It has been a little bit.
My fault. I was out of the country.
You've been globetrotting a little bit.
I was another part of the globe. That's fair to say.
Yeah. You have a good time?
Yeah, man. I was over... doing the yearly, I think it's the last year we're doing this, but I was helping the wife with her hiring of international staff for her summer camp. So I was in Edinburgh in Scotland, and I was in London.
What is a great movie you should check out? It's on Netflix, and it's about...
You're going to say Trainspotting, aren't you?
No. I don't know if you've seen this before, but it's about a guy who's driving to London. It's called Locke. Have you heard of this? It's Ed Hardy.
I saw on Facebook Ed Hardy. That you were watching it.
Oh, Ed Hardy.
Yeah, Ed Hardy?
No, that's not it. Tom Hardy. Ed Hardy is the douchey t-shirt maker from like the early 2000s. He made like, they look like old school tattoos on his shirts. And like, if you were a douche, you wore one. I had one. But Ed Hardy. Oh, I can't believe I brought that up. Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, that guy.
The entire movie takes place in his drive to London. It's 88 minutes long. Really good movie. You should check it out.
I saw that on Facebook you're watching, and I do like Tom Hardy. I think he's quite good. I'll have to check that out. But no, it was good. It was, you know, London. I love London. I love being there. It's a fantastic city, one of the best in the world. But Edinburgh is also amazing to go to. Obviously much smaller than London. But it's a fantastic city. We stay in a hotel on the Royal Mile, which is in the old town of Edinburgh. And it's just very cool. Very old. I like architecture, and the old architecture stuff is all a lot of fun.
Nice. Have you seen In Bruges?
No, I want to.
That's another one you got to see. I won't give anything away, but also some really good shots of the old city architecture, if you like that kind of thing. But there you go. So that's your mission for this weekend. Watch Locke and In Bruges. I think both are on Netflix.
Okay.
But you know,
I gotta watch Trainspotting. I haven't seen that either.
You haven't seen Trainspotting?
No. You know what? I've never.
And
really
you are a film. You're a film.
I
student.
Haven't even seen anywhere to watch it.
But like, you're a film student. Like that, you're supposed to watch that in college.
Says who?
America.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Trainspotting and Requiem for a Dream. Like, if you didn't watch them in college, you're not a true film student.
No, I watched Requiem for... We watched it for... I don't think we were in that class together, but I watched Requiem for a Dream. And then I just, like, hated myself after that class. Because you can't watch that movie and not just feel so... Just, like, bleh.
Dirty.
It's just, like, you just feel crappy.
Uh-huh.
Not like sad or anything. You just like, I don't even, I'm being repetitive here.
Why do you think kooky film students love that movie?
I don't know. Cause people got, I mean, it's very well made.
Yeah.
It's just like, you just feel blah at the end of it.
Kind of the way we feel right now with the Capitals season, how it's going so far in the last 2 weeks or so, right?
No. I can tell you exactly how the cap season you feel. It's feel you look like it's not blah. It's what the you know are you guys doing? Wake up! is what it is right now because it's 7-game losing streak. That's a problem. And I got to if it goes any, you know, one or two more, I don't. You know, no one's talking about it surprisingly at this point. But I gotta wonder. Does that seat under Reardon get a little warm?
Already? Come on. Not already.
7-game losing streak. This is now I get people are like, if anyone's making fun, it's like, it's the same team as last year. How are they struggling this much? Well, it's the same team, but it's a different head coach. But this is still the team that won the cup. And this is still a team that should be playing better than that. And if we were talking a 4 or 5-game losing streak where they were like playing okay, but they just weren't getting goals and it wasn't going their way. And maybe 2 or 3 of those 5 games were like, they didn't play very well, but there's a consistent issue with this team of having a lack of effort. And a lot of that comes back on the players, but then there's also a portion of that that I feel like comes back on the coach because it is his job to not only educate, but motivate these players to play well in the, you know, at the beginning, at the middle, at the end of the season. And I feel like the middle is the hardest part to sort of play well. Cause you're just kind of like, you know, especially when you've gone as far as you did last year, it's kind of like, this is boring. These games don't mean as much. I can get how mentally you can sort of check out a bit. And it's the coach's responsibility to get them to check back in and to make the effort better. And he's not doing that right now. Because, you know, he may be trying in the locker room. He may be trying at practice, but it's not working. So if this continues, I don't see how the conversation isn't at least, you know, is he the right guy for this team?
This is like around the same time of year last year where there was talk of firing Barry Trotz, right? Like the team wasn't doing well.
That was like around Thanksgiving.
Well, it was twice. It was around Thanksgiving when they lost to Calgary, and then it came back around like January, February, and that was when they had their first like player-only meeting, and that's when the season kind of turned around, isn't it?
I don't remember.
I think that's what it was, and the Barry Trotz was under the hot seat last year, and things kind of got straightened out, but I don't know. I feel like Todd Reardon, he should kind of have a leg up since this is the same team, except for Jay Beagle and a few other people. This is the same team from last year. He should have been able to learn of what worked and what didn't work underneath Barry Trotz because he was here. When Barry Trotz was here, he should know what Barry Trotz did or didn't do that helped these guys win a cup, right?
I mean, yeah, but that's not happening. And that's kind of why you're looking at Reardon going, what's up, man? This is kind of your responsibility to get this team playing better. And it's one thing if they just like weren't playing well. But it's an effort issue, and that's mental. That's a thing. And they had one or two players-only meetings, and it's not working. If he can't figure out what's going to work, then you got to bring in someone else.
All right, I'm glad you said that. And I mean, I don't mean
which
to,
part.
I don't mean to like jump around here, but like you said, it's an effort problem. But in some of these losses, like Alex Ovechkin gets a hat trick. And, you know, the scores, let's look at it, you know, 6-3 against Toronto. That's not good. San Jose, 7-6, Chicago, 8-5, Chicago being the worst team in the league, 2-0. That's not good, but let's stick with these San Jose Chicago games where the Caps scored 5, the Caps scored 6, two of these games involving an OV hat trick. How is that not enough to beat these other teams? I mean, it's not like they're not scoring. They're getting the puck to the back of the net. What are they doing wrong?
Well, like we talked about before, I was on the other side of the Atlantic, so I can't say specifically as to what they were doing wrong because I wasn't going to be staying up that late to
So you don't love this team is what you're saying.
I'm saying it's 5 hours ahead and F that noise is what I'm trying to say. Because that would be – the games end at what, 9:30? So that's 2:30 in the morning. And I got to be up early the next day so we can go do some stuff. No thanks. But anyways, you know, I don't think it's a lack of effort from Ovechkin. It certainly sounds like that's not the case. But you got to look at this team. And if you – the first thing that stands out is the fact that the other teams are getting touchdown-worthy levels of goals here. Nashville on the 15th had 7. That's a touchdown and an extra point. Chicago had 8. That's a touchdown. And you gave up a 2-point conversion. That's embarrassing. You gave up 7 to San Jose in a game you were winning. So that's a touchdown and an extra point. And then you gave up just the touchdown to Toronto, or 2 field goals, I guess you could say. Either way, there is a consistent problem here in that you're giving up a ton of goals to the opposing team, some of whom aren't very good. So I don't understand what's going on there. So the immediate thing that you see and you look at it and you go, huh, well, what's up with the defense? Why aren't they helping out? And that's, you know, one thing to look at, and whether they need to do something about this team defensively.
So let me ask you, just cut you off there real quick.
I see Ovechkin.
Defensively, what has changed since the beginning of the season? Brooks Orpik is back.
Well, they have different coaches now.
Right, but Brooks Orpik is back.
It's not just Orpik.
But look, I'm not trying to put everything on him. This is a team sport. We all know that. And he is a veteran, and he does have leadership, yada, yada, yada. But defensively, since he's been back, this team has allowed more goals and left Holtby or Copley out to dry and kind of fend for themselves.
So Orpik has played 22 games. He is a +3.
Not too shabby.
Now, I don't necessarily like the plus-minus statistic, but that is kind of telling in a way, because he's not giving up a ton of goals when he's on the ice. Now, if he's playing on the PK and the PK is doing poorly, that's a different situation.
Sure.
But he, you know, I think it's it's tough to say because we're not in the locker room as to what specifically may be the issue. But defensively, this team right now, it sounds like they're struggling a bit, considering how many goals they're giving up. Or is it an issue with the defense? Is it an issue with the forwards not back-checking and helping out? Getting the puck out of their own zone, which is allowing for more scoring opportunities for the other team. So there's a lot of different things to look at right now in terms of how this team is playing. And you'd like to see that number of goals that they're giving up be down considerably. And you look at the plus-minus statistics for this team right now. Lars Eller is a minus 14.
Oof.
Orlov minus 11, Niskanen minus surprising. 10, Chandler Stevenson's a minus 7, Andrei Burakovsky's a minus 5. So, and then Devontae Smith-Pelly is a minus 4, and Dmitry Yashkin is a minus 2. Those are the only guys that are in the minus column. Kuznetsov is at 0, which is interesting. And then you have guys like Michael Kempe is a plus 20, Carlson's plus 17, Vrana's plus 11. These are guys tend to be on the ice, I guess, more when you're scoring. That's part of the issue in terms of if you're – you know, you might be more of a negative because you don't score as often. And you're out there playing against another team's top offensive players, their top line. The odds that you'll have more goals scored against you than you score is theoretically more likely. But when you're giving up 7-8 goals a game, it's a team thing. And I think a lot of it comes down to effort, and they need to find a way to fix that situation. And it may be that the All-Star break came at the right time because – it gave these guys an opportunity to sort of get away, clear their heads, and regroup before they get back at it. When is the next game? Friday?
Friday night,
when they get back at it Friday night at home against a very good team in Calgary.
I mean, there are some dummy mistakes, like Dmitry Orlov did score on Holtby in one of the games from 2 weeks ago.
Hey, wait, how did that happen?
He slapped a puck out of the air towards his own goal, and it kind of like went over Holtby's shoulder and gave, I believe it was against Chicago, gave Chicago a goal. But, yeah, I mean, we'll leave that there. But, like, defenseman, though, I want to say, Jonas Singenthaler. He has been absolutely fantastic. He's been laying in front of pucks. He's been doing everything a defenseman should do in front of the net. Of all the defensemen out there, I feel like he's like the only one actually playing.
I mean, he sounds like a guy that wants to stay in the NHL and will do whatever he has to not have to ride buses to away games anymore. So, I like what I've seen of the games that I saw before I disappeared off this continent for a while. It sounds like he really wants to stick around, and hopefully that ends up happening. And, you know, if there's someone that isn't giving the effort that needs to be, they can go ahead and sit up in the press box for a little while.
And we'll see. But like you said, hopefully the All-Star break did come at the right time. It looks like all of the the Caps players are having a blast. It Oshie took his family to Disney. Looks like Ovechkin was in the Caribbean swimming with dolphins. Jakub Vrana and Andrei Burakovsky and Devontae Smith-Pelly went to Miami and had some steaks with that salt seasoning guy, that meme. You know, I don't know what his actual name is, but they did that. So it looks like Lars Eller went somewhere warm and played with his family in crystal clear water. So they it looks like they did the All-Star break right, and they're heading back to D.C. But
well, that's good. I'm glad.
Looks like they all did it right, but I would feel better if they would have gotten at least one win before the All-Star break, because now they're coming back and they're going to have to get back into work mode. And getting a win now is even more important than it was before after you drop 7 in a row.
Yes, that is a problem.
Is there going to be a not a lack of motivation, but almost like a nervousness among the team? Like, we've just dropped 7 in a row. We can't drop 8 in a row. And, you know, kind of make those basic mistakes that you kind of make, you know, when you're at your job, but you got somebody like looking over your shoulder the entire time.
I could see something like that happening. I think with some of the younger players, that could certainly be the case. With some of the older guys, no, because this, you know, it should be that they're veteran players, that they should be prepared to come in and play the game that with the game plan that they have going out there. What I'm more concerned about is they're going to be hyper focused overly focused on what they need to do that may end up causing them to actually not just sort of play a little more loose, which when you're losing sounds like a bad idea, but you really want to get this team, I feel like, into a point where they're playing with more confidence and you're playing a little loose, because if you play too tight, you know, you're hyper-focused on certain things, you're not going to be able to do other things. You're thinking too much, which means then takes a little longer to get things done, which then is even more likely that you're going to lose because their team's playing faster and likely better. So you know, I think getting a win, especially against Calgary, would be ideal because it gives you a nice little push. It'll get a little bit of that that monkey off your back, and you'll feel a little bit better. And then you go into a game against a beatable Boston team that you should be able to go out there and take 2 points from, and go a nice little run. And they got, what is this, 6 games at home? They got before they go out west. They got an opportunity to make a nice little run here and get a good run going before before they head out west.
Yeah, it looks like they have 6 games at home, which that worries me as well, because I remember a season or two ago they had 5 games in a row at home under Barry Trotz, and I think they lost all 5 or 4 of the 5. That. So for them to come off the All-Star break where they had their feet up, relaxing with their families, and then to come home, sleep in your own bed for a week and a half, which, I mean, ask any athlete, they're absolutely going to love that. But to come back and have 6 games at home, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but you're still going to be somewhat in a laxed attitude because you're not going to be in travel mode yet.
It's tough. At this point, they shouldn't even, you like how I'm doing this? At this point, they shouldn't even be focused on the away games. Like, they got to start taking it one game at a time and just build some momentum. That's the biggest thing right now.
And do you think Todd Reardon knows how to coach that way?
We're going to find out. You know, they don't really have a choice, because if it's not working and this team, you know, where are they in the standings right now? I was going to say that they're in second, but I want to just confirm to make sure that's correct. Cause it seems like, yeah, they're currently second in the division. They are with 1 game less played. They're 3 points behind the Islanders. Caps play 50. Islanders played 49. They're 1 point up on Columbus, who has played 1 less game. That's also not good. And the Caps at one point had that big differential in terms of goals. Now they're down to just being, a +9. So that's a Jesus. Tampa's a +59. Good Lord.
Yeah.
But they've only scored 4 more. No, I'm sorry. Wait, no, never mind. That's Toronto. Yeah. They scored a whole lot more goals.
Yeah, just wait until May or June. They'll choke them.
28 more goals. Good God, that is impressive. Anyways, But so, yeah, basically the biggest thing right now is for the Caps is to win, and that's all they need to do. And in fact, I believe Pittsburgh is winning at the moment over Tampa.
Boo.
So that will then put them ahead of Columbus. I predict Columbus is going to fall out of this, by the way, because they're probably going to trade Artemi Panarin and Bobrovsky.
They're going to trade Bobrovsky?
I think he and Panarin both want out.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've been reading about. And then, so Pittsburgh would then be tied with Washington. They would have the exact same record. I think they actually would overtake the Caps for second with the win tonight because they have a better goal differential. They've scored. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm guessing Pittsburgh would end up in front because they have the exact same record. So, yeah, they need to start winning, and they need to start winning a lot. Because it doesn't sound like the Islanders are going to fall apart anytime soon. And it's Pittsburgh, so they're probably going to go and get Panarin, and then they're going to make a run.
Oof. I mean, we'll see what happens. Metro is not an easy division to win. God, so I don't even know what to say at that point. But they need to win. They need to win now. And I mean, the playoffs are not a guaranteed thing. We were all screaming back to back after the big parade and celebration, but that is not a guarantee you're even going to make it to the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. But this was the All-Star game weekend, whatever you want to call it, this past weekend. And the Metropolitan was able to come away with a win. They won the tournament. So Braden Holtby, Todd Reirden, and John Carlson won the All-Star break.
They won. Sorry, the way you said that was funny. Not to call you out. The All-Star break.
Yeah.
Not the game, but the whole break. They won the whole thing, guys.
They won the whole thing. John Carlson came away with the hardest slap shot as well, so that keeps the cap streak going. So, I mean, I guess a good weekend for those guys. They got to watch all their friends have fun playing the ocean while they had to go to work.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it'd be nice to be acknowledged to be an all-star, but then you're also kind of like, damn, I want to go on vacation.
Exactly.
So, unless, I mean, it was in San Jose, so it's still kind of nice, I imagine, the weather was. But, yeah, it had to have been, because wasn't it Fleury and Letang who... Letang's such a douche on the ice. Fleury and Letang that took scooters or
yeah.
Segways. Some
the Limes something. Or the...
They took something with wheels
yeah.
to the game. So it wasn't a relatively nice out. Better than it is here right now.
Oof.
Yeah. Well, it's worse in other parts of the country. But anyways, party's like, it's great to get that recognition and that honor. But then it's also kind of nice just going on vacation.
It's also nice to get sleep, which is pretty good.
We'll get that later.
Yeah. So anything else going on in Caps world?
Did you mention that Carlson won the hardest shot?
So yeah, that was kind of fun.
I saw that on Twitter and I was like, that's weird.
Holtby was actually kidding and said, man, you and Ovi should switch spots on the power play. Knowing that Carlson's got some of that strength like
Ovi
has.
They do from time to time.
Yeah. I mean, it might not be a bad idea to just switch it up a little bit.
With the way it was now, it got me yawning. With the way it was struggling before the break, yeah, it's not the worst idea to try and switch out the power play. One thing I also talk about: Caps will be celebrating Hockey is for Everyone and Black History Month with several events throughout February. I started to actually write them all down, but then there's like double digits in terms of the events throughout the month, and I was like, "All right, that's gonna take too long." But the events are both at the rink formerly known as Kettler and also at Capital One Arena. Head over to the Caps website for more information because they have one, it seems like, almost every day going down, which is really cool. So,
And if it's at formerly Kettler Rink, be expected to stand in line for 6.5 hours to do any activity there.
Settle down.
I still got to kiss the cup, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So is that it for Caps World?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think the biggest things for this team to focus on right now is improving the defense, giving up less goals. I mean, it didn't help that Holtby was hurt. His ice. I'm reading the thing on the screen on the Caps website like an idiot. His vision was down when he got hit in the face or in his eye. or eyes.
It was just his one.
So I think, you know, I think they almost have to take it like in which season was it? It wasn't last season, or was it last season? The one before where they like broke the season up into like sets of games. So it was like every 5 games, or every 10 games, they would look and like just focus on those. So right now I'm looking at Calgary, Boston, Vancouver. Just look at those three and then go from there.
All right. Very, very interesting what to do next. Hopefully the Caps can come away with a win, maybe one or two this next weekend. We shall see. A little bit more Caps news. This isn't really news or whatever, but Coach Dan, did you ever see the NHL documentary about the Caps winning the Cup?
No.
Well, if you haven't seen it either.
Is that the one you can buy?
Yeah, you can buy it on Blu-ray or iTunes or whatever.
I have one of them, but I don't remember where I got it from.
Well, if you have seen it or haven't seen it, would like to see it again, and are an Amazon Prime user, the documentary is on Amazon Prime right now. I stumbled upon that last week and was like, oh, I own it, but I get to stream it here right now. And I watched the whole thing. It was always fun to see. It's about the journey to the Cup in the playoffs and then the celebration afterwards. And everything's in slow motion. Makes it so much cooler.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Slow motion, except for Michael Bay films, usually makes things better.
That's it for what's going on in Caps world. We're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 3-1 with wins over Binghamton, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Bridgeport. They are slowly climbing out of the cellar of the Atlantic Division, where they were for so long. Sitting 7th. Yes, that's technically out of the cellar. With 45 points and a record of 21-20-3. But they're only 6 points back of 4th place. So a couple more week or 2 weeks like that where they go 3-1. And or 4-0 would also be nice. And they'll be climbing up the standings real quick. They'll be back at it with back-to-back home games starting on Saturday against Lehigh Valley and Sunday against Belleville.
If you go Saturday, you get a license plate frame.
Oh, I kind of want that.
I know. It's kind of cool.
Damn it. Oh, but it probably has some company up there also advertising on. Now I want it less.
Yeah, probably.
I don't mind some other stuff, but license plate, like, I don't need that. If you go Sunday, you can see them play Belleville, but then you probably will miss the Super Bowl. And then they head They'll be going on the road next Wednesday where they play against, or in, I should say, Springfield. Let's head on down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays also went 3-1. That's where they both did. They had 2 wins over Orlando and 1 over Greenville. They're currently 2nd in the South Division with 48 points and a record of 23-17-2, 19 points back of Florida, who are just freaking running away with the division. I mean, that's ridiculous. I looked at that. I was like, oh, the Stingrays are doing pretty good. They're still a bajillion points back of Florida.
Are they in playoff contention? Or
I think Florida's already actually won the Kelly Cup. That's how far ahead. No, yeah, they're I believe they're currently in a playoff spot.
Okay.
Because they're 2nd in the division. They're actually playing as we speak. I haven't seen anything on Twitter lately to see how they're doing. Like at all? Which is weird. I feel like I should have seen that somewhere. But I'm like scrolling through Twitter right now, and I don't even see one update. Maybe the game hasn't started yet. Anyways, they're playing at the North Charleston Coliseum against Norfolk. Then they head on the road for back-to-back home games starting on Friday with both games. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think this would be away games. With both of those games being against Kansas City, who have a pretty cool logo, except for the middle part, which is a bit odd. But anyways, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Gotta look this up now.
Their logo?
Yeah.
I kind of like, I like the color and everything. I like the way they've done it, but the horse just looks silly.
The horse does look a little silly.
Yeah, he looks a little silly. Make that a little bit more normal than actually.
That looks like the, like a high school logo.
A little bit.
With the
you're
angry
right.
horse.
You're right. It definitely does. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
This one's not bad with the skating horse. That definitely looks like the logo.
That's better.
That looks like the logo our college would pick for their hockey team. Definitely would.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, anyway, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. I'm sure there's something going on. Coach Dan, fill us in. What is happening around the NHL?
Well, let's start with the trade market as we're getting closer to that time of the year.
Beep, beep, beep,
first,
beep.
Pittsburgh. What was beep, 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 beep?
We're getting closer. It's like when you drift in lanes, your car beeps now.
No, mine doesn't beep, but it, where does it beep?
Get out of the way, guy. Oh, sorry.
What?
Just yells at you. Get out of the way.
No, mine just, the steering wheel shakes and it's in, or this little thing. It's in, actually kind of annoying. But I get the purpose of it, but it's kind of annoying. Anyways, let's start in Pittsburgh, where they sent defenseman Jamie Oleksiak to Dallas for a 2019 fourth round pick. LA sent defenseman Jake Muzzin to Toronto for forward Carl Grundstrom. That sounds like the name of a bad guy in like a Die Hard film.
Mm-hmm.
Defenseman Sean Druzy and a 2019 first round pick. And some suspension news, Nashville forward Ryan Johansson was suspended for 2 games for high-sticking Winnipeg forward Mark Scheifele. That's kind of a D move there, Johansson. That's why you got to sit out. And finally, Nashville forward Austin Watson has been suspended indefinitely and admitted into the Stage 2 of the NHL Substance Abuse and Behavioral Health Program. This suspension is regarding his ongoing issues with alcohol. Watson previously was suspended for the preseason and the first 18 games of the season for pleading no contest to domestic abuse. This guy sounds like he's got some issues, and I hope that he gets the help that it sounds like he really, really needs.
So
that's the news.
I got to ask, so does that mean – I'm not really sure what that suspension, the last suspension, means. Does that mean like the NHL – is actively like helping him get into like a rehab facility or something like that?
Well, I think they've helped him do that. And then they're, that's like, oh, what did I read earlier?
Is it kind of like you have to go here or you're not allowed to play?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like the NHL Nashville. I mean, I'm guessing at Nashville and the NHL, because the league and the NHL Players Association announced in a joint statement, they did this together on Tuesday, that it was like, you got to take care of this. Like, this is very much a problem. I'm trying to find it specifically. So the Predators, in the statement, said the Nashville Predators are saddened and disappointed for Austin Watson and his family as he enters the NHL/NHLPA substance abuse and behavioral health program for alcohol-related treatment. We are grateful for the NHL and the NHLPA's program and will cooperate in any way necessary as we continue to support Austin and his family as they go through this difficult time. Because of the personal nature of the substance abuse and behavioral health program and our exclusive focus on Austin and his family's well-being, there will be no further comment on this matter. So it sounds like they like help him find a program and then he's got to complete it.
All right. That's good.
Yeah, I mean,
I like that the NHL does.
Sounds
that.
Like he needs the help.
Yeah,
so I'd say that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad the organization's doing it. I'm glad it's not something like you got a problem, get out, call us when you're better type of thing. I'm glad they're actually actively helping him address the issues. So that's good.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the news from the past, however long it's been in the NHL,
month and a half. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of things related to the Washington Capitals, as well as Arsenal Football Club. Brandon, I got a story for you real quick.
Uh-oh.
This show's been a little bit shorter, so I got a good story for you. So, we don't see each other very often in person, but
correct.
From time to time, I wear Capitals gear out of the house. You know, I used to wear Redskins gear from time to time, but now they're an embarrassment. Did you know, by the way, the top five organizations that people hate in this country? Do you know what number five was, Brandon?
Yankees.
Wrong. Should have been, though.
Yeah.
Number fifth, most hated organization. Not in sports. Or it's company. Not in sports, dude. Company in the country or world. I'm not entirely sure. Probably country. It's the Washington Redskins.
Wow.
That's a problem. Anyways, I'll wear sports gear out. And you know what? One team, if I wear gear that I almost every time I get a comment from somebody, Arsenal Football Club.
Are people saying, what does that mean?
No, people make – all right, so let me put – all right, so when I flew to last – Saturday, not this past Saturday, the one before that. When I flew, I landed from Dulles, where TSA was real cool. Like, we got through pretty fast. Flew from Dulles to Heathrow in London. TSA guy, as I'm getting ready, no, I'm putting my stuff up on the belt, getting ready to, for them to make sure I don't have anything, you know, illicit or illegal in there. The guy sees that I have an Arsenal crest on my quarter zip, and he's like, yeah, Arsenal, because they played earlier that day. And he's like, you know, gave me a little like, what's up? And then made a comment about the game earlier in the day that they had. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice. And was this also a worker that wasn't getting paid?
That is correct.
Wow.
Then I'm in a pub in Edinburgh, in Scotland, and I go to the bathroom. And I'm coming out of the bathroom. I'm going back to with the table with my wife and her boss. And I hear a chant of who are you or who are you coming from a group of people that are, I'd say in their 40s, mid 40s, males and females. And I hear people chanting and I'm like, I know that this is a chant for European football, but I'm like, they can't be, they're not going to just bother me. But because they saw the crest on my freaking quarter zip, because the same day we got there, I hear a guy go, hey, wait, Arsenal fan. And I was like, or Arsenal something. I was like, oh, crap. No, I'm going to get into a fight in a pub in Edinburgh. And then so the guy, he's, I could tell he's on his, not his first or second drink probably at that point. And he's just, hey, and he's coming over to me and like kind of talking about the game. And I realized pretty quickly he's an Arsenal fan because he was talking about the goals that the Arsenal scored. And then I said something about a goal that Chelsea didn't score. Sorry, Ryan. And then he was like, yeah, but they didn't effing score. And he started naming players, and he was like, Pedro didn't effing score. Hazard, I think is what he called him, didn't effing score. And I was like, all right, this is getting interesting. Another guy came over. He was a Chelsea fan, and he was, like, really cool, like, shook my hand, and then we were just chatting for a moment. But, like, there was definitely a minute there where I was like, I'm going to die or get arrested in Scotland. But that didn't happen. It was cool. But it's weird. It's no matter – and I know this is a Caps podcast, but – I don't usually get comments. There's one funny time I got a comment about a Caps thing. It was years ago when they sucked. It must have been early in the Ovechkin era when they were still really bad. And I had a hat, and I was in Rome with my family. And we're on some tour with other people, and there's other Americans. And something happened, and like I wasn't paying attention. I think one of my siblings like kind of like made fun of me. And this other guy was like, don't worry about it. He's a Caps fan. He doesn't, you know. I was like, ha-ha. Yeah, they suck. But like you don't get comments, but Arsenal, man, whatever it is, I always get someone being like, yeah, or, I like this team or something. Whenever I go out wearing it. Even my wife's like, yeah, you always get comments when you're out. Like someone always has to say something.
I had one of the oddest comments in the last 2 weeks to me. So I don't
like European football now, Brandon?
No, this is about Caps gear, but I don't think I have an article of clothing that doesn't have a Caps logo on it, to be honest. Like, literally, if they put a Caps logo on it, I probably have bought it. So I have a Caps winter knit cap, you know, a toque, if you will. And I was wearing that in the grocery store, and I'm guessing somebody thought it was a Patriots hat because it was red, white, and blue. And this guy comes up to me and goes, "Hey, go Ravens." And I'm and I go,
"You're like, yeah,
I agree. They didn't, they're already out of contention for the playoffs, but I agree." And he just kind of looks at me and like doesn't know what to do because I guess he thought I was going to fight him. But I'm like, "Yeah, okay, cool, man." Just kind of like kept walking, but it was the oddest thing because it's obvious he just was like, he had no idea who the Caps were. Not a
screw
hockey
you for wearing those colors is basically what he's telling you. And you're like, that's not what? All right.
It's the colors of America, but okay.
We're in America. In America, you wear our colors. Go Ravens. And you're like, oh, okay.
I agree. Thank you. Okay.
But honestly, that guy needs to pay attention. It's kind of the basic situation going on there.
All right, where were we?
Somehow that was finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But Brandon, if people wanted to know about this show and your other shows, where would they go?
You can go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. That guy also, besides not being a Caps fan, should also listen to my Ravens podcast because I do one of those as well. And we're kind of waiting for something.
Hey, Brandon, I'm going to start a Redskins podcast called F This.
Hey, you know what? I might be joining you on that podcast if Joe Flacco ends up being a Washington Redskins
quarterback. Brandon, at no point in time will I ever let you become a fan of the Skins. I will take that burden on myself.
So that's where are you? Right. To go.
That's a freaking nightmare, is what it is.
That's true.
That's what I now am the. I wouldn't say proud owner, but I am the owner of a Buffalo Bills T-shirt.
Oh, there you go.
I want a quarter zip, but they're like seriously, like trying to buy anything NFL merchandise. So freaking expensive.
It really is. Well, I mean,
look, unless you like live there, but Buffalo, it's where my dad's from, which is how I'd be like, if I was going to have another team to follow, I'd like another team to follow because, well, I think the NFL is corrupt and kind of messed up. You know, it's fun to watch, but I want to be able to support a team that doesn't make me want to like punch my television, but not because they're bad. I dealt with bad. I was a fan of the Skins when Danny Werfel was the starting quarterback. Yeah. Like it's losing is not the issue. It's when your owner and the, well, I don't even know it, team president / czar and Bruce, that guy needs to go, # fire Bruce Allen. They're terrible. And not just, I'm fairly confident they're bad people all around. They need to go. So go Bills. That's what I'm saying. And I saw them get crushed by the Ravens in the opening game. This past season.
Yeah.
That was fun. I mean, still have something for you. I brought that guy to that game and I still have to send it to you.
All right. Well, there's only two teams left in the NFL season. We got the Patriots and the Rams this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday.
Go Rams, go Sean McVay. I should have freaking kept him.
Is that your pick to win the Super Bowl?
No, because it'll be the freaking Patriots again. I want the Rams to win. Because though I don't want their owner to win, because he's also the owner of Arsenal and he's a huge D-back. But I don't like the Patriots or Tom Brady. Yes, I respect Tom Brady because the guy always wins. Though I question if he didn't have Belichick, would he be able to be as good as he is? But my main point is go Rams because their head coach Sean McVay used to work for the Skins, and I actually think he's a really good head coach.
I just want there to be an even game where there's a lot of sevens at the end because that's the numbers I've got in my block pool at work. So 7-7 for three quarters. We could do that. I'd be happy, but we'll see what we'll see what happens on Sunday. But what else should we do? Oh, go to facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We're also on Twitter at whatthepuckpod. So like us there as well. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. The Capitals are back at it February 1st up against the Calgary Flames. the home of Bret the Hitman Hart, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. But they will be playing in D.C. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington as well as ESPN Plus. And then on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, start your day of sports off with the Caps versus the Bruins. That game is at 12:30, and you can watch that on broadcast television, NBC. And then on Tuesday, February 5th, the Capitals are up against Vancouver. That is one of the Hockey is for Everyone nights as well. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington locally here. And then we will be back with another show. So hopefully, we're talking about three wins. Wait a minute. Is this Jay Beagle's first time back to D.C. since leaving the team?
Yeah. Oh, I want to go to that game. I have my... Wait, hang on. Brandon, keep going. I have something to show you on.
What they need to do on February 5th, there better be the longest tribute video I've ever seen for Jay Beagle playing in Capital One Arena. That's what they got to do. Oh, you got a Vancouver shirt. It looks very blue. Beags 83. Beags, my boy. And a giant Fanatics logo. Good God.
Yeah, I know. I don't like that. It's not that. It's not. I guess it's kind of big.
As huge.
Actually, Brandon, I'll be up in your neck of the woods. I'll be in Baltimore
what?
On Monday for a conference.
Well, look at you. Let's do a live show on Monday.
Maybe we might be able, because I could probably get to your house afterwards, and then we could probably record some. I don't know. We'll talk. We'll see what we can work
out. All right. So that's why you got to stay close to our Facebook and Twitter page. Maybe we'll do an early show next week. Who knows? So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all
we'll
for
listening. We'll do four shows next week, everybody.
one every other day that the Caps don't play.
Record Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday afternoon.
There you go. That's even never
happened.
Even
though we haven't played since the Friday show. We're not doing any of that. We'll do one of those. Maybe two. Probably one. Let's do one.
All right, so that's it for What the Puck this week. Thank you all for listening so much. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.